Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and I'm off the air. This, of course, Nigel and the Nightcats. With the brand new Chick McGee Off the Air theme song. Come to think of it, everything's off the air. Or everything's brand new. And everything's off the air. Yeah. Welcome back, or welcome to my podcast. Thanks for joining us. A very special, wonderful, super swell podcast today. My first guest ever. Well, other than my girlfriend.
You're already in trouble.
I'm already in trouble, other than my girlfriend. This is an actual a guest. I guess you would call this a guest on any show. It's Kostaki Economopoulos. Hi, Kostaki.
What's up, Chick?
See, isn't this nice? Nice and comfortable. Kostaki, of course, a world-famous comedian, known for being Greek.
World famous. Some people in Canada have heard of me. Is that what you mean?
Oh, you've been to Greece. Do they know you're a comedian in Greece? When you go to Greece, do they go,
my relatives.
Hey there, that's that funny man. Is that how they talk?
Is that your Greek accent?
Do you have a Greek accent? Stavros?
Mine's terrible.
Stavros?
I can just do very simple impressions of my dad. Kostaki, telephone!
That's
all I got.
How Greek are you, Kostaki? Your dad's 100%?
My dad's 100% came from Kalamata to America on a boat in like 1965.
Kalamata is delicious. Like if you haven't had that, you're missing the boat. And what about your mom?
My mom couldn't be any more American. Roots and Daughters of the American Revolution. And Pittsburgh Steel family kind of roots.
Really?
And then Florida. Yeah. I mean, wow. I'm 50-50.
And you have a brother?
I have one younger brother, Andreas, and he's a good kid. He's not a kid anymore.
Was there any, as far as you know, I mean, you weren't there, but is there any stories you've heard about naming you? Was your mom wanted to name you Jefferson Lee Economopoulos, and your dad wanted to go with a Greek name?
Well, my American uncles were kidding around, apparently, during the pregnancy about how they wanted an American name. And then there was like, well, what's an American name? And they decided I should be named Crazy Horse.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy Horse.
Well, that's a Native American name.
Economopoulos. Very American.
Yeah. So that's your mom's family.
Yes. And on my dad's side,
it's very strict.
You got to go by the rules.
There's a rule in the father and
the first
son. Or what?
Yeah. The first son is named after the father's father. And I'm the first son. I would be the king, as my dad reminded my brother over and over again. He would just be the prince if it was a royal family
so
situation.
So everyone who's born of Greek heritage has this monarchy attached to their...
Well, there's sort of a lineage. And then the second son is named after the mother's father. And the same thing with the first daughter is the father's mother. And then the second daughter is the... Yeah, so... That's why there's like 10 names that 90% of the Greeks have, because they just recycle them.
Oh, okay.
There's little families of Nicks, and there's little families of Constantinos's.
It's like that scene in Goodfellas when there are Peters and Pauls and Pauls
really
and Peters
is.
And
That's
Nicks.
Why. And okay. You hear on the beach, Kostaki, and then like seven dudes turn around.
Right. But you come from a very academic background, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Both of my parents.
Big brain.
PhDs, and my mom was math and math education, and my dad was sociology. And my dad's dream was for us to all wind up teaching at the same school. Late in life, both my parents taught at the same university. And my brother and I both went to grad school and then bailed at different phases.
Was this all at Georgia? University of Georgia?
It was Kennesaw State University, which was a small community college when I was a boy, and it grew into a big-ass place.
Ivy, colored brick, covered brick and all that? Or just was it?
Yeah, it was less of a, it has since become, it's got dorms and a real campus life now, but in the old days it was like, 13th grade. You know what I mean? It was a smaller school.
Right.
But it grew. That's suburban Atlanta. That's an area that's booming, and that place really grew up. I think, in fact, in terms of students, it's the second biggest in the state of Georgia behind where I went, the University of Georgia. So it was a good school.
So having this background, you coming in one day and you are how old when you decide to be a standing up comedian?
Yeah, my dad did say some version of that. I think I want to really try this comedian. My dad, very supportive. You want to be standing comedian? Are you crazy?
Sit down. You'll be more comfortable.
Yeah,
come
you
on.
Crazy? No, he was great, always. Both my parents were super supportive.
They really?
Great, always.
Are you not being the good son?
They were absolutely great. No, my dad always busted my balls about going back to school, but it was only in fun.
What would you have done if it had it not been
I probably would be teaching American government to college kids this point. It's not bad.
You can always go back to
that. It's a noble life. You know what? I save my books and I still fucking have them because you never know.
There's some nights you come off stage, you go, I'm going to go get the trunk.
Oh, my God. One night, I got to tell you this anecdote. I was in Edinburgh doing the festival with Caroline, and one night came off stage. They do a show called Late and Live. Mm-hmm. It starts at around 1 a.m., 1:20 a.m. on weeknights.
And this is in badass Scotland.
And they kind of promote the show as being a little bit of a bear pit kind of crazy scene.
Okay.
And, of course, it's Scotland, so people are hammered out of their mind.
They're Scotland drunk. This isn't like American, I'm drunk. This is Scotland drunk, late at night, off the hook.
I did three Late and Lives.
Right.
It's known as being a place that breaks comedians' hearts. I did three. One went okay. One went quite well. And one, I said to Caroline, if there was an application for a different career on the way off the stage, I would have filled it out immediately. I'm still haunted by how awful that went. Sometimes you have those shows and that happens.
Now, Caroline is the mother of your daughter, right?
Yes.
You guys were together for how long?
A long time.
Living together, I guess, because you never decided to get married. You didn't think that was for you. Is that right? I'm sorry.
A lot of extra tone in that sense.
Right now in my life, I'm a big fan of marriage, but it didn't used to be. Well, that's not true. I've been married three times. I must be crazy about it, but never wanted to get married before now. But
we were together for a long time, and we had a baby on purpose, and we tried, you know, we had the big plan to be together always, and we didn't technically get married because she's freaked out about that institution.
Mm-hmm.
She has some poor models in her life.
Yeah, that's true. There aren't some great marriages out there. But there are some great ones.
I have the opposite. My parents were one of the best couples I've ever seen. My brother is one of the best marriages I've ever seen. A lot of my friends are happily married.
How long have your mom and dad been married?
They were married always. My dad passed away 11 years ago, but they were married, 35 years.
Wow.
And probably, you know, happily married now for the next 15, in theory.
And you decided to go tell your father that you were going to be a stand-up comedian at what age?
I was in college, and I did an amateur contest that I was like, I loved stand-up always.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the guys that did those couple of contests over a couple of years sort of built a little club of wannabe comics that we all found each other at this event.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing comedy every couple of weeks in like the basement of a pizza place, and we would charge $1 to pay for the flyers, and it was great. Those were great days. It was a nice, safe place to suck, you know?
Well,
we were terrible.
You need that.
Yeah, you know, it's a big learning curve, this thing.
Was there a specific night that you finally thought, okay, because I get the feeling with you, and I always have that you're, of all my comedian friends, and I have a bunch of them, you're probably the most, I don't want to say normal, but I think you are. I think you're the most normal, level-headed. Like, most of the comedians I know are, like, crazy about comedy, and if you don't see them, they're writing comedy, and if they're not writing comedy, they're out at some other guy's show, and then after that, they go talk about comedy, and then the next day, it starts all over again. But you're like in a fantasy football league, and you're like the NFL, and you've got your daughter, and you're from an academic background, and
that's nice to hear. Yeah, it's funny because I feel kind of
emotionally. I don't feel that way at all.
I feel quite emotionally troubled as of late. No, I think as a general rule, I'm pretty level-headed, and compared to the pile of lunatic comics that we get to hang out with, that's, you know, it's not a very high bar to be most normal.
I'm not saying you're okay by any means. Don't get me wrong.
Thank you, Chick. I appreciate
that. But No, I was thinking about that when I was thinking that you were going to do the show today. I thought, you know, he is, because you've got, who do I know? You got Nick Griffin, who sits alone and types, you know, and then types jokes and stares out the window, and, right. You know, and if incredibly funny, wonderful.
Very prolific.
On stage.
Maybe I should do that more.
Very prolific. But not only that, but he writes a lot of jokes. And yeah, he's, and then, you know, Todd Glass, who's famous for, you know, coming out of the closet, but still, but even before that, I mean, he was almost asexual. He had no other life other than on stage or watching right. somebody else perform. And
but these are great comics. You're making me think I'm doing it wrong.
you might want to step it up a bit. Yeah. Yes, Jason.
If I may, Kostaki's the one guy that I know that seems like can function outside of comedy.
I think you're right on that.
That's
yeah.
very nice.
Because all the other ones, because well, I got to know, I'm like, hey, this guy's normal. Even Greg Warren, I thought Greg was one of my normal comedian friends. He's not.
He's not. He's yeah. always.
Kostaki is, not that Kostaki
I've gotten
is,
to know Greg
but
a lot
he's the he's the best at it, I think.
This is our wonderful producer, Jason.
I'm not supposed to talk.
No, you can talk, obviously, all the time.
Yeah, I love Jason.
We call him Hoffy. He's he's our producer, and without him, this thing would not be going. Believe me, because I'm not what you would call a go-getter. But that's beside the point. What was I going? Oh, I wanted to apologize to you because this was probably 3 or 4 years ago. We kind of got into this fight that when I would see Kostaki, not a fight, a discussion about whenever we would see each other, he would say, "Hey, have you watched that Bill Hicks video yet?" And I would go, "No, I haven't seen it yet." Because I'd always heard that Bill Hicks was the comedian's comedian, and you were right there with everybody. Well, not everybody, but most of the comedians.
He's got to be top 10 on the list.
Got to be. Well, right. And now I know he is, but okay. I had not.
You hadn't come around yet.
I hadn't come around yet. And you were like, "You got to watch the Bill Hicks video. Watch him, the thing they showed on Letterman." And I don't know. So then, but then it. As these things happen, the Bill Hicks it hit my sweet spot. There was a documentary out about it, Bill Hicks American, with yeah. our friend Dwight Slade, and he's in it. And my goodness, that he is a funny man.
He's great.
He certainly.
Well, you and I were very early on the Louis C.K. train. Like I was yeah. for years, I was telling buddies he would come to the Punchline Atlanta. I was like, this is like circle him on the calendar. Go see this guy, and he was completely unknown, but he always stood out as being one of the great ones to me. In fact, he used to be the example that I would use in what do you have to do to make it? Because this guy's a genius and has been for a decade and no one's ever heard of him. And he's done a lot. He had done a lot of media. He was on Conan all the time. And
yeah, he had an HBO comedy half hour, whatever they called it back then.
Right.
And it was one of the early ones and it was killer. And but he just had not really
right.
broken through yet.
And even as recently as Caroline did the half hours, like it was about 6-7 years ago, mm-hmm. he did one of those, and he was just one of another. You know, there were like 22 dudes who got those. Norton did one, and Caroline, and, you know, a bunch of other names that I can't even name. And he wasn't, I mean, to me, it was a standout performance, but he didn't really right. land and connect with people yet. And now he's a monster.
Monster. And you just don't know what's going to catch on.
But to his credit, it's merit plus media exposure. He has been great for so long, and he's so prolific, and he's so gut laugh funny and insightful and different and refreshing and real. And I mean, he's nailing it on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. So he's a great model, you know.
So what's a typical day like for Kostaki when you're at home in New York? Let's say let's pick a day, like a Tuesday.
Tuesdays can
you get up, you work out.
Tuesdays are NFL morning radio day, as it turns out, in the fall. That's
okay.
That's a big day for the kid. And the days leading up to that are scrambling madly, building the segment.
I wanted to ask you about that, too, because this NFL thing that you're doing for not only for the Bob and Tom show, but for a couple other stations around the country and one of the satellite places. That's what I'm going to call it. I'm not really going to recognize satellite radio right now. Anyway,
it's a form that's threatening the podcast platform.
You have asked for my input a lot on the, not a lot, but when you've seen me, I don't know if you feel like, okay, here's something I can talk about and it'll make Chick bearable for the next 10 minutes. But no, you, and I don't think I've done
done you much of a service in trying to help you with this thing and who to talk to. Other than, I think I gave you some good advice for when the Super Bowl was in Indianapolis. You talked to some people. Did I help with that? Maybe I didn't. Maybe I didn't do that at all.
That was such a swirling, interesting little you being not sure if I wanted to talk to you and then needing me to tell you that you were helpful at the end of it.
You've been great.
We've talked shop about all kinds of stuff. In fact, we've talked about you doing a podcast for, it's been.
I know. Yeah. Well, like I just said, I wasn't trying to kiss Hoffy's ass. I was. It's the absolute truth. If as these things go,
I have a text chain.
If he
here.
Hadn't
Let
shut
me
up,
pull it up.
We don't have it? Time for that. As these things go, if he hadn't come up to me and said, "Chick, we should do a podcast. Let's do this," and you've got the chair and the microphone, just sit down and we'll do it. So here we are. But actually.
We had talked
about
this.
You and I worked together, 6 or 7 months ago out live somewhere? And
I got the date because I've got the fancy iPhone. It's February 19th.
Oh, these iPhones are great. February 19th this year. Go.
I started.
We were talking podcast at a restaurant.
Prior to this, we had worked together, and it was the Super Bowl weekend, actually, because we did Lafayette. And
then you started sending me ideas for the name for the podcast.
And then I got fascinated by it because I think it's such a great idea.
Because
for you.
You brought up a good point. You said, I'm kind of backwards as far in the comedy or entertainment world. A lot of people know my name and are familiar with what I do. I just don't have much product out there, for lack of a better term, for something like a podcast.
Right. It is the opposite because most comics spend a decade trying to figure out how to be funny, and then they spend the next decade trying to get media exposure.
And being out on the road.
And you are a beloved, well-known character.
I didn't hear any of that.
And
what?
You're
beloved?
You are embraced by Americana all across.
I can go anywhere and get a free dinner.
Shining
sea. And I wasn't doing anything with it so far.
You're not milking that enough somehow. You're not getting enough out into the world.
Yeah, I need to do that more.
So this is one of the things we talked about.
And we needed a name for it.
And then I started texting you podcast titles. My first one here, I'm just going to read them all. I'm not saying they're all good.
No, you need to read them all.
Extra Time with Your Chick. I thought would be a delightful title.
Extra Time with Your Chick.
Because it is. I'm trying to find... embracing what it is,
you know,
and a clever double entendre.
You know, actually, people who have been so nice on the emails have said this is a good way to get our extra chick fix or whatever it is.
Quality chick time.
Yeah.
This one I actually typed in. I'm not proud of this one. The Chickster Scale.
The Chickster Scale.
And it has a cut line where you weigh in on the week that was.
Oh, that'll make a nice t-shirt.
Hot chick, crazy chick, bounce chick, Econa Chickalog. These are all things that I texted
you. What do you mean?
What
were you doing, Econa Chickalog? That sounds like you're...
That's the joke. A chick on the side. And then that's when I lost my mind. I was like, is the perfect title.
You really like chick on the side.
Chick on the side is so perfect. In fact... I think you should change the name of it to that immediately.
What? No, we can't
do that. It so captures exactly what this is, and it's got a funny, and it's short, and it's sweet, and it's got K sounds. You know that's important for comedy.
That is. Five chicks on the side. The funniest
Could
number.
Could that be a t-shirt?
Five
chick talk.
Funniest chick talk would be good. Well, we're going to have a t-shirt.
All right.
Would you? I guess I'd have to give you one now that I say I was
I'll brainstorm some more t-shirts for you. What's this called? Dead air?
Off the air. Kostaki.
I'm actually warming to that, I have to be honest. When I first heard it,
I'm off the air.
I was just too angry that it wasn't chick on the side.
You were just blind angry.
And now I'm like, okay, that's all right. That one works in the same way, that kind of describes what it is, and yet it's a playful... Yeah, that works.
But how do you feel that we didn't use the name chick in the title? Because every one of yours... had chick in the title, right?
Because I think that's a funny... First of all, it's a ridiculous name for a grown man.
Mm-hmm. I'm right here. You're talking about me like I'm out of the room.
And I like that it's... There's so many funny ways to play that. And it embraces the fact that it's you. That's the whole point. You're a beloved character, and then you have your own sort of like platform on the side.
All right, I guess.
Chick on the side.
I guess. What are you, Kostaki?
Yes.
While I'm still speaking to you?
Yes, so far.
What are you, Do you want your own situation comedy? Do you want your own talk show on the radio? What do you want? What do you want to do with your life, boy?
Yeah, boy. That's a good question.
I'll just go back to Georgia and sit on the porch in the swamp. I do. A lot of Georgians. I've had a lot of swamp in Georgia.
I've had way more than my share of vacations in the last couple of months. I went to Greece and I had a cool vacation with my new girlfriend.
I did not. Oh, hey, yeah, the new girlfriend.
And I have to say, I am looking very forward to retirement. Like I could, like you guys said, like I love comedy, but if I was suddenly not doing comedy and having a full life. Relaxing.
Just write some jokes and send them to somebody, and
that would be okay with me.
Mail you a check.
That might not be true, but that felt like it was true when I was on vacation. I was like, man, this is good.
So you've got a new girlfriend? Can
I've
we
got
ask
a new
about
girlfriend.
That?
You can.
How'd you meet her? The elevator?
She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close. My apartment building has a doorman.
What's his name?
Well, I mean, as doormen, it's a doorman apartment.
What's your favorite one? You got to have one, like Lenny or Artie.
Well, I can't. I mean, maybe they'll listen to that. I can't have a favorite doorman.
All right. You don't know the name of your doorman.
No, I have no idea. Krista is way more friendly with the door.
I'm sorry, what's her name?
Krista. She's awesome.
I heard your voice kind of went up. You started to break out. And your eyes started to spin.
She texted me while I'm talking to you, and I'm distracted.
See,
yeah,
you let me tell you something about this. About this true love thing.
Yeah, that's trouble.
Can I tell you?
Please do.
Nothing but trouble. You get an ulcer.
So jaded.
You start. You get a nosebleed every now and then.
No, I live in an apartment with 360 units. I think it's a big building.
Are these people or just units?
People.
Families, maybe. They're actual.
Very
people.
Few families, because of the next part of the sentence. It's a converted hotel.
Is it a swingers?
So it's mostly studios.
Is it swinger? Is like a swinger? Like a lot of single people?
It's a lot of single people.
Really?
If it had a bar, it would be the nuttiest place.
There's your situation comedy. There's your treatment.
Right. Put the bar in the roof garden and then go nuts. So my leasing lady is married and loves me.
Okay.
And we had like kind of a running joke. I was like, well, keep your eye open. You know, let me know. Hook me up with somebody.
She's been trying to fix you.
And she sent me out on a blind date with Krista. And it was like, bing. It was really like amazing first date. And I'd never laid eyes on her. I came down, like I watched a little clip of her online and she apparently did of me. And
okay,
so
that's kind of creepy.
Well, knew a little bit. Well, we were introduced via email. So then.
So you sent her a video clip?
No. I didn't send her anything. But she's, you know, a grown up and knew I was a comic. So she Googled me. I'm easy to find.
This sounds dangerous.
And she's got a big web presence because she's a big shot, fancy pants photographer.
Really?
And so she was easy to find. And then, so I go down to meet her and it's pouring rain, like crazy pouring rain. And I see what might be the back of her head. She's talking to a door guy. And I hear her say, I don't want to go out. And I laugh, and she kind of turned, and I go, hi. That's how we met.
And then you went out.
And we were going to go to a Greek-Italian place that's like a block and a half away. I'm Greek. She's Italian. Boom.
Boom.
But it was pouring so hard that we just went around the corner to a place in our building and had a drink there. And then we totally got on, and it was just like a great conversation.
You didn't just go upstairs, did you?
No.
We totally got on.
Is such an old. That's not. I don't know what I'm talking about. This is like
no. I understood.
Tom
it. I
Griswold
know how old
school of,
I know how old
of expressions.
Oh, we got on. Oh,
we got
absolutely.
On. Yeah, we got yes. on. Fantastically.
We got fantastically.
And then we went to.
She's got the most perfect jumblies I've ever seen.
All right.
then we went to the Greek place, and I introduced her to Avgo Lemno soup, which she's never had ever. And
who's
she
this guy?
Loves
is, he the, is he own the place? What's his name?
This is Mr. Avgo Lemno.
What's an Avgo Lemno soup?
It's
why not do this?
It's egg lemon. It's a very lemony sort of chicken.
Eggy.
It's like chicken noodle, but eggy and lemony. And it's fantastic, and she loves it. That's another old guy thing to do is on a first date, take your girl for soup.
That's right. Let's go have some soup. You're going to love it.
So it's been like so great.
How long has it been?
So I don't know how you measure these things because we.
Days? Months?
We went out in December. Here, you'll appreciate this.
Okay.
Our second night of hanging out, which is not a date. It's still a bone of contention between us. I invited a bunch of comics to watch Monday Night Football in the building because we got a big ass like
anybody
it's
we
the
all
size
know?
Of this wall.
Oh, okay.
In the
they like have the, you have a big screen in your apartment?
No, my apartment has nothing but a bed.
No,
and a desk.
But in the hotel, I'm in the building.
Common space, there's a cool like series of couches and a big ass.
You live in the swingers den. Is yes, where you live. You know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all they need is a bar. Why don't you start a bar? That's what you should. who are the comics you invited? Do we know anyone?
Yeah, probably. It was the same kind of characters that I hang out with. Andy Hendrickson and Keith Alberstadt and Tony Deo and some of those.
I love Tony Deo. Yeah. I mean, I love those other guys, but Tony Deo is relatively
Warren will
new
be invited this season. He wasn't living in New York last
Warren
last
is
go
in,
around. But
Greg
now he's
Warren
there. Now I see him. We have lunch and hang. And,
yeah.
So yeah, all those dudes, Jason Cantor and, you know, some good guys. So the projector broke like Monday afternoon. And I invited Krista. Like we had had the one date, which was fantastic, which I described. And then this was like whatever, a week later. So I invited her. I figured she's in the building. She'd get to see some of my guys and we'll just hang a little bit.
My boys.
Right. So now I'm like, now what do I do?
What the fuck?
Right. So now I like rally and like send texts to like these eight dudes and Krista that we have to move it to the pub nearby. And then like two dudes showed up and Krista, and then Krista and I, it feels like a date to Tony Deo and Keith Alberstadt, and then they split. So the two of us are sitting there at this guy's football night and I have playoff fantasy implications in the game.
And you can't not watch.
But I also can't not give Krista full attention, and she busts my balls for like all this fantasy stuff that I was immersed in. And I'm like, first of all, you were invited to a football thing. It wasn't a date, and then it ended up kind of date-ish by accident because all this other weird stuff happened. And I had fantasy things happening. You don't know how little I paid attention to it relative to what I wanted to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, because there are other fantasy things you could be thinking of with.
So first fight was second date?
Is that what we're talking
I did. We do still joke about it. Our first tension was a few days later, she came into my apartment and she talked to me and she goes, "You have to stop treating me like a dude." That's what she said.
That's the third time you talked to her?
I was like, well, I'm not sure if it's the third time. We probably went out since then and then it was the next time after that. I go, first of all, you're talking about the football thing. It wasn't a date. So we still kid about it.
You have to stop treating me like a dude.
Which is good advice generally, but it was not fair advice based on what happened.
I want to know more about the first date. How late did it go?
It was crazy long. It was like a 4-hour date. It was 5 hours maybe, just like talking.
And she lives in your building, so you walked her to her door?
I didn't.
Did you? You didn't.
I hugged her in the elevator, and there was no smooching. I didn't want to be too forward kind of.
Any, you know, Roman hands, any of that stuff?
No, no. In fact, the first time I said something, I just blurted out what I was thinking, which maybe that's not the best way.
That's not good.
No.
That's never good.
We were in the elevator, and we kind of recreate this sometimes because it's funny to us. She was leaning against the far
wall. Can I smell your panties? It must be your feet. Is that old joke? Is that? Oh, okay.
She was leaning against one wall. I was leaning against the opposite wall.
She was being coy.
And
yeah.
We were talking, and I go, "I was just thinking about kissing you." And she kind of like smiled and put her hand on her mouth and shook her head no.
That is not happening.
Right.
So, well, you had Italian Greek breath.
Well, she.
I don't even want to think what that egg mayo soup tastes like or whatever or
egg
smells
mayo.
Like.
Egg mayo. That's an awful soup.
What do you call it?
Avgolemno.
Okay. Yep. I could have sworn it was egg mayo, but apparently
egg
not.
Mayo. Egg mayonnaise soup.
Egg mayonnaise
not
soup.
Not nearly as good as egg lemon.
So you say goodbye in the elevator and she, you go to your floor and she goes to her floor.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Now it's very different.
Did you sleep well that night? Are you all jazzed up because you met this great girl?
You know, daddy's all pent up, you know.
The first night?
Yeah, yeah, just thinking about her.
Well, the first night I was jazzed up, but I also had to guard myself because I knew that she was in the dating pool. Like, she was very seriously, like, dating.
Okay.
She was kind of, and we actually discussed this.
Somebody else could come swooping in.
And I discussed how I wasn't interested in a relationship. And
there might be another rooster.
This, like,
rooster in the hen house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we were both a little bit hesitant about each other.
Right?
Plus, I have a kid, and, you know, she wants to be a mom, and there's all these other complicated sort of factors in here, you know.
She wants to be a mom?
These things.
So a whole nother.
What I'm saying here is you're both dating Italians, right?
Oh yeah, I recommend them highly. I can't say enough good things about Italian girls. Right? Yeah.
And you know what? She's gorgeous, like in a way that's, you know, like I've been with women who are very attractive in my eyes, but this woman is attractive in everyone's eyes. You know what I mean? Like she's got a broader sort of appeal to the male group, and it's uncomfortable for me.
Oh, like, yeah. It's horrible.
Like dudes
it's
hit on her horrible. While I'm there. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening here?
Right in front of you. Like, don't you, you think I'm gay? What's going on?
Yeah. So that's hard for me.
Well, what did Tim Wilson always say? If you're in love, she should be the ugly one or something like that. Because it's a lot easier to,
right?
I guess, but
right.
Who wants to fall in love with an ugly person? You can wake up looking at that.
So funny.
You kidding me? Your eyes kind of doing that
so
thing.
You live your whole life, well, at least no one's going to take her.
Yeah, at least no one's going to take her, so okay. I guess.
But it's a lot easier to feel like the cat's ass in that situation, right?
Sure, absolutely.
So this is honestly true. I have felt like bone-chilling feelings of jealousy and insecurity in a way that I haven't and certainly not in 15 years.
Yeah,
it's and she's a little clumsy sometimes with the things she says.
But you can appreciate them on a comedian level, but
so my
personally, they're a little too cutting, or what do you think?
No, she's so couldn't be any more sweet. But she'll sometimes say something and then recognize after she said it that it might not be good for my little challenged head sometimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Here's an example.
This all sounds so hauntingly familiar.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Oh, yeah.
One night.
Yes.
One night, you know, lots of intimacy, months go by, like just like crazy passion, like totally in love. We're having just the time of our lives. And afterwards, we're kind of talking. And I'm just, you know, I know different women have different scales of crazy orgasmic to not so much and very challenging. And whatever the window is, I want to be at the top of the window. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Some of them are like cracking a safe in the dark, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So very casually, because she hasn't reached orgasm from just intercourse, I say...
Let's hurry up.
I say...
Can you pick it up a little
bit? We've had like great intimacy and like plenty of orgasms. Like we're doing great. But so just casually I say, so can you come from just intercourse? And like not a hair of time goes by. And she's like, oh yeah. And that has not happened at all. I'm like, I need to get a cold compress. I need to lay here in a fetal position.
Oh.
Maybe what? I need to call a shrink. I need to.
Yeah.
About 10 days ago, we're on a date. We're coming back from the date, and she goes, there's so many things out in front of us. It's so exciting. I'm so in love with you. And we had this really sweet date. She goes, we haven't even done like some of my favorite things. And there's a pause, and she turns and she goes, I love to fucking heels. Meanwhile, I've never fucked her in heels.
She must be talking about somebody else.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, I'm dizzy. I'm going to check myself
into
the
emergency
room. Well,
you tell her I like that too, will you? Can you tell her that? That'd be really swell. I feel like I know her.
She sees the look of like, ow, on my face. And then she's apologetic. And, you know, of course, she didn't mean anything by that. But it made me a little dizzy for a while.
She's just being truthful.
Oh, I know.
She apologized?
Yeah, because she knows that if I had said a parallel thing, that she would have been like, oh, wow, stop.
Okay.
So we're both like hypersensitive, you know, Jack and Jill. So we're empathetic to each other's pains.
Just one time, and she wasn't trying to be funny, and she's probably the funniest person I know. And she wasn't trying to be funny, but it was the old Mike Birbiglia joke. She goes, you know who I think's hot. You know who? And she goes, Warren Sapp. So you know what turns my girlfriend on? Black guys. And it's like, you know, the heels thing. I'm not a black guy.
Yeah, you can't get there. You can't get there.
And then she kind of realizes, oh, but I love you. But Rick Ross, who's some big giant black rapper, and Oh, it, yeah, it just goes on and on.
Yeah, it's the old, yeah. I can do harder, I can't do deeper.
Right.
Like, yeah. Know, whatever you're not, you can't.
I've got it reeled out as far as it'll
I can't
go.
Be that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So, but I decided this, I went through a lot, because I do a lot of introspection and like talking through what's happening in my head to the point that she's eventually like, okay, enough with being in your head. This is ridiculous. So I did some of this on my own, and I decided I could spend my life like afraid of her heels. No, I'm running towards the problem, and I fucked her in heels since that conversation. And I feel a lot better.
I feel like we just had a happy ending here. That was, I mean, not a happy ending, but a happy ending and a happy ending.
It seemed to ease my head a little bit anyway.
That's great, Kostaki. So it's, you can, I mean, you can see it on your face that you're giddy.
She's awesome. I mean, all this weirdness is the funny part. The rest of it is just bliss. She's so cool.
So you've never been married though, right?
Never been married.
But your brother's married.
My brother's married. A lot of my buddies are married. Most of my buddies are married.
You think you...
It's too early to have that conversation.
Subconscious. What are you doing?
I'm just asking.
What are you, my mom? She's great.
I'd get married tomorrow.
If I was,
and I've been married three times.
If I was a betting,
and I'm an idiot, and I'd get married tomorrow.
If I was a betting man, I would think that I would bet on the side of we're together for a long, long time. Wow. But you know, I thought that once before.
Life's funny, isn't it?
And I was wrong. So I, you know,
life is a fucking
life
riot.
Is fucking it's a challenging.
Riot. It's a riot.
It is.
So your latest endeavor, if you want to call it that, in the funny world, the comedian world, is this thing you're doing for some radio stations and the satellite place. your take on the NFL, and you've all been as I am, you can have all the other sports combined. I pay the most attention to the NFL.
I couldn't agree more.
I don't know why, but
I've tried so hard to like the other sports.
Me too.
And
baseball, basketball. Baseball, I watch the World Series. Basketball, you know, the championship round. You know, if my favorite NBA team, the Pacers, if they're involved. But man, I just the NFL. I could watch it every day of the week. And what is it now? Three times on Sunday, I guess. So.
Right, and a Monday, and there's going to be a Thursday every week.
Thursday every week, which is perfect.
With only a couple of exceptions, I think.
So, yeah, so Sunday, Monday, and Thursday throughout the season, and then late in the season, they add Saturday games.
Yeah, and then throw in some, you know, University of Georgia game here
Are
and
you
there.
Drinking? You're drinking, aren't you?
It was kind of a weird burp.
Oh, yeah, college football's okay, but...
I'm with you on that, too. A lot of people disagree. A lot of people go completely the other way. They love the passion of the college game and the rivalries and the traditions. But those aren't people with the – what I love about the NFL is that you get the story arcs of these players and these coaches that go on for decades. It's so compelling. Like, what's happening with Randy Moss this year? Like, how long have we been following this guy's career? Like, that stuff to me is what's interesting about it.
So what what place did you get to say, okay, I'm going to start – for lack of better words, market myself as an NFL commentator and do some jokes about.
Well, you know what happened? I was looking around at the world, and the thing that has improved my career the most is doing the Bob and Tom show.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last
part. It's that doing the Econo-monologue has changed my career, and it's helped. The thing that I care about the most career-wise is getting people to know who I am so that they come to see me do stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Because then creatively you can go so many more different places when they already like you before you start. Yeah. And you get to work better venues and better crowds and better situations.
It really is that simple, isn't it?
And more money and fewer nights away from my life and my kid and all that stuff that I try to have a balance. And Bob and Tom, you know, you guys have helped me do that. So... then I was thinking, okay, I want to expand this model. How do I do that? And then I thought, oh, well, the thing that I have a guilty pleasure about, I always wanted to try to do the things you love, right?
You want it to be passionate and you want it to matter to you, and you can't fake that. And
right.
Like most people, the things you're best at are the things that you enjoy the most.
Right. So. And so I'm fully aware of that. And I've been lucky enough to get to do what I love for a living. And the other passions that I've had, I almost did for a living too. Poker and, You know, so I wanted to do the same kind of thing. And I thought, all right, I love football. I'm completely obsessed with fantasy football and all these weird stats and all this crazy stuff that I'm studying anyway. I should do a segment that's just football jokes. Mm-hmm. And then I'll pitch that to the sports radio universe. And then I'll have a whole nother kind of the same model, but to reach a broader audience. So that was the original concept. Mm-hmm. And then I sort of brought it to you guys, and it sort of clicked immediately. Like, it gave the Econo-monologue more life that I was doing jokes that were topical that just happened that were about football. And mm-hmm. it's such a guy kind of show, and it just fits so well. And then I'm pitching it to sports radio. And here's the problem with sports radio. Sports radio goes, this is great, but we don't do this.
Right.
Sports radio is so X's and O's. They're so about being serious, and they mm-hmm. take themselves maybe too seriously. It's weird to me because it's an entertainment show.
And if anything, if you can have fun with anything, it would be sports.
Right.
You know?
It's not like you're doing Face the Nation and then a guy comes on with some wacky jokes at the end where it doesn't fit. You're talking about you're talking about an entertainment thing before you even begin. Why be so serious?
Right.
So anyway, so the short version is I'm continuing to pitch in that universe, and I think there's going to be a breakthrough here soon. But that's been a much tougher pitch than sort of more mainstream shows that are more open to comedy content.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still exploring it because it's a new form. I'm still kind of building this little cottage industry. But it's gotten out there in a lot of different forms, and so I'd like to continue. I want it to be, you know, a joke of the day at the bottom of sportingnews.com, or maybe there's a little box of Quick Snaps jokes in ESPN the magazine, you know, once a week.
Right. Or Sports Illustrated. Or
yeah, so I'd like for it to have a few different forms. And now mm-hmm. I'm blogging it. It's going to be every week. I'll blog it on Kostaki.com, so I'll have fresh content there. And I'm just trying to learn and build the media universe. And my new girlfriend is a media maven, so she's helping me. She's the one who helped build these memes. I've got a meme for every NFL team, like a slogan, like a joke slogan for all these teams, and they're all available on my website now. So this, I'm trying to build a little more of an army that can kind of find me and stay sticky with me.
Is Kostaki.com, is that what you said?
Yep.
That's it?
That's it.
That's all, Kostaki.com.
How cool is that?
That's very cool. It's almost as cool as ChickMcGee.com.
That's pretty cool.
When you started the NFL, the joke writing, I think we had this conversation. Were you, before that time, were you disciplined enough to sit down and write new material? Or is this helping you write new material for your stand-up?
Yeah.
With the NFL thing? Or
it's hard, man. It's heavy lifting every week. It is so hard.
Because you had told me, this was a couple years ago, before the NFL thing started, I really have to sit down and start writing. I really have to.
Yeah. Well, you know what's hard is because the last 5 years, more weeks than not, I've done a segment on the Bob and Tom Show, which mm-hmm. is fantastic. It's exactly what I dreamed of.
Well,
and
that kind of.
But that is different stuff than fits in an act traditionally. It's not personal.
Okay.
So it's a different muscle. Mm-hmm. And this muscle of writing jokes that fit on this show and are sharp and short and efficient and funny and topical, I've gotten really good at that muscle. Mm-hmm. And the muscle of, you know, like the story that I just told you about being pained by the things my girlfriend says, that's a different muscle. Mm-hmm. And that muscle is kind of weak. I need to make sure that I'm working that one too. It's a hard balance because you kind of get so caught up in, oh shit, it's Sunday night. I don't have enough good jokes for Tuesday yet.
I don't have anything.
Panicking.
Yeah.
And I've got some help on it, you know, Simmons mm-hmm. especially. Tom Simmons is a beast to help me on the jokes. And, you know, it's a lot of doing to get it done. But it's fun too. And it's when you get jokes to sing, man, it's fun. So I need to apply that model more to my act than I have been. That's my goal going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question because you two have traveled together, right?
Mm. No. Yes, we've traveled.
According
together.
To this, in February, we were fast friends.
any good road stories from any gigs you guys have done?
Well, this morning we had this morning we had breakfast, and he asked about the oatmeal. I didn't think Kostaki would be the oatmeal guy, but he.
I didn't have oatmeal, though.
No, he didn't have it. He just wanted to ask about it. That's kind of weird.
I was definitely going to have oatmeal. And then you said you should get the Olympus omelet, my
Greek
friend.
Oh, yeah, they had a Greek-themed
And then
omelet.
I said, okay.
Oh, I know the story I was going to tell about you that I thought, gee, this guy's a regular guy. We were in some hotel, and I know this is you this time. We were in a hotel, and you said, hey, I'll go get my laptop. So you got your laptop, and you pulled up your iTunes, and you started playing songs for everybody. You remember this?
Where were we?
I want to say Charleston, South Carolina.
Ooh, that's been a while.
It was me and you and Jonathan, and Jess was there, and... Because you like iTunes, right?
Yeah,
we've had iTunes.
We've had a lot of good times, man. We've done so many of these kind of tour dates, and those are so much fun because you're with all these other characters that are good at what they do and nice people, and it's fun, man. When you're headlining clubs, you don't get to work with other headliners, you know, by the nature of what it is. So it's nice when there's like six of us floating around and chasing around and drinking and belly aching and laughing and.
You don't drink a lot, though, do you? Like,
not much anymore. I used to drink a lot. I'm like a beer guy. I used to drink a lot in college. And like,
what kind of beer? Something.
Well, in college, it was whatever was cheap.
Right.
Natural Light. Snatch the Natch, baby.
Snatch the Natch. Natty Light.
Yep.
Because you could get a six of that for 89 cents.
Well, I had a rule. I would never pay more than 50 cents per can of beer. So. That was a long time ago.
That was a very long time.
I just drink with buddies or, you know, Krista and I will drink wine with dinner kind of thing. I like right, that. I've actually embraced that a lot.
I know. Okay. Getting the high heels out. I know.
By the way, she was the one in the heels, not me, just to clarify.
Got it.
There's no leverage when I have the heels on.
Checkerino. Yeah. I've tried it. It's like uphill. It's no good.
It's like uphill. that's
right. You don't want to go uphill or something like that. All right. Well, Kostaki, thanks for stopping by.
It's my pleasure. Is that it?
I think that's it, unless you got something else.
No, it's fine. It just surprised me that we were done.
Oh, we're done.
Because I wasn't sure if I was going to enjoy myself at all, and then I enjoy myself so much I lost track of time, and now it's over. That was weird.
That's a metaphor for something. I'm not sure what it's a metaphor for.
Did you go into Chickland and only take the pain of the first part of how I didn't think I was going to enjoy myself?
Maybe so. That's all I heard. That's all I heard. Chick McGee at chickmcgee.com if you'd like to email us and say hi. And I'm Chick McGee, and I've been off the air.